TG Geeks, episode 128, July 31st, 2017. Sci-fi, comics, film, horror genre, you name it, it was at San Diego Comic-Con. Hello and welcome to another webcast from TGGeeks.com, where Ben and Keith, the two gay geeks, talk about all aspects of geekdom and nerdery. Sci-fi, comics, film, horror genre, you name it, we talk about it. I am Keith Lane and we are coming to you from TG Squared Studios in lovely, humid, monsoony Phoenix, Arizona.
And I'm Ben Ragginton, also coming to you from... Boy, I got nothing. Phoenix, Arizona. I got nothing.
Yeah, so this episode, we're going to do our wrap-up of San Diego Comic-Con.
Holy God.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we did it. We live-blogged it on the website, mm-hmm. but now we're going to spend a little time and we're going to talk about it. So let's get right to it.
Can I just say that nothing in the world ever prepared me for what San Diego Comic-Con was going to be?
Oh, my God.
I've heard countless stories, both positive and negative.
Absolutely.
You know, and of course, we've done Phoenix Comic-Con numerous times now, along with FanFest every year since its inception. And
WesterCon this year.
WesterCon this year.
And you've done other cons.
I've done Creation Cons and Time Cons years ago.
And we did D23 a number of years ago.
Yeah, we did D23 quite a few years ago. But nothing, nothing prepared me for the madness that is San Diego, or what's technically now, it's not San Diego Comic-Con anymore. Now it's Comic-Con International.
In San Diego. Yes.
Yeah, this was mad. And my God, I've never been so tired in my life.
Oh, I'm telling you. Especially the first day. Which wasn't even the
wasn't
first
even
day.
Wasn't even the really first day. I know.
Yeah. It was. So we took off on Wednesday morning early. Mm-hmm. Not as early as we wanted to get started.
No, but
we got to San Diego on Wednesday, and we met up with some friends at Toscana, mm-hmm. which actually we met some friends that we were staying with and got settled there. And then we
took the trolley.
Yeah. So it was really kind of neat. We didn't drive to the madness that is Comic-Con downtown.
No, thankfully.
Oh, thank God. I think I would have lost my mind. I've driven off into the ocean.
Oh, I would have gone completely mental. I mean, just watching the traffic that's around in that area.
Oh, my Lord.
So I think taking the trolley was really the best possible option.
Absolutely. Because
even though it was mobbed.
I saw people driving on, and I thought, have you lost your mind?
That main road that separates the gas lamp district from the convention center. And people are driving it during Comic-Con, and all I could think of is, you must be mental, or you've never been here before and never heard of this event.
Exactly. Wow. Anyway, so we made it to the gas lamp, or on the trolley, it would just drop us right off, and it was a block away.
Yeah. Very convenient, so very efficient.
Met Jeannie Koch and Terry, which... God, I can't, never can remember her name. Anyway.
I know who you're talking about.
But anyway, so we met them at Toscana and had a great time and had a $91
lunch. $91
lunch. That was two sandwiches and three
sangrias. Three sangrias, I know.
That was it. $91.
But it was a nice sandwich.
It was a nice sandwich.
The sangrias.
And it was a nice sandwich, too.
It was a very nice sandwich. And the sangrias were actually quite nice,
yeah,
especially
the red.
Yeah, they
were kind of neat.
Yeah, they're good.
So after we did that, is we ran over and got our badges.
Well, Jeannie had already stated that that would be the gathering point. I guess everybody at Toscana knows her. So even though there might be a line, it's like she's got permanent reservations there, which I think is convenient.
Yeah.
And she said that she was escorting groups over to get their badges. And so let's talk about the registration process.
Well, we walked across the street, and obviously Jeannie knew where to go, and we had no clue where to go. So she ushered us upstairs, and we got to the badge place mm-hmm. for people that didn't have their badges yet. Most of the badges were sent out prior to, but
right.
ours was a special situation because we were panelists and we got pro badges after the fact. Mm-hmm. And so we got up there, and silly me, Mark, our friend Mark Biaggi, who works for Comic-Con, told me that we probably should do the paper. We should print them out. And then I forgot to do that. You know,
okay, so, but no but big we, deal. I mean, we had him an email,
right?
And it well, was no problem.
Yeah, he said sometimes the scanners don't work well on the phones, so that's why he suggested we do the paper.
Well,
anyway,
for all so we know, it went smooth for. Yeah. I mean, you got yours in like seconds.
Yeah,
mine took a little bit longer, only because the poor lady who was actually trying to put the badge together. And I would say that the badge itself, the way it's all kind of put together, this nice molded plastic, it's really snazzy.
It's kind of cool.
It's kind of far out.
So there were but all there, kinds of was, different badges.
She
yeah.
was fighting it and everything. So hers, mine took maybe 30 seconds longer than yours did, only because she was physically having issues with it. But other than that, I thought it was one of the most efficient processes I've seen in a long time. And that entire upper floor, which I think is
called the sales pavilion,
was not the entire thing, but there was a good section of it that was all dedicated to the registration process, and people were just going in and out. I mean, at least we did.
Yeah, well, we were in the pro badge line. Now the regular badges, there were some lines and things, special services. You know, obviously Jeannie had to go up there and she had to change a name on a badge because somebody else wasn't coming and she needed to change the badge. So it created a little bit of kerfuffle for her.
Tiny bit.
But it was just simply because it was a change.
Right.
And something out of the norm. So it was special services. But it didn't really take that long for her to do her thing.
No.
So.
No, the only part that I didn't like is when we were waiting for her to finish.
Oh, my Lord.
We had to keep, like, walking in figure eights because you can't stand here. It's a fire hazard.
Yeah.
Which so I get.
We inadvertently exited before. We didn't realize what the whole process was, and so we picked up our bags and everything, and we walked out.
Oops.
And Jeannie was not finished, and she was still in there, so we were trying to find out where she was, and they wouldn't let us back in, obviously. Mm. And then we just waited, and we were standing there. We picked up all of our other stuff, and they said, move along.
Move along.
But
anyway, live and learn.
Yeah, after we got our badges and they got their badges and everything straightened up, we went downstairs to wait.
Only about 20 minutes.
Yeah, because of the time that we were there and the time that it took to get the badges and all of that, we had it's about half an hour that we waited for them to open the exhibitor hall, and they actually opened it before 6.
Just a tad before 6, so we got to go in for that.
So
because we had tickets for the preview night.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And it was, at first, it wasn't madness, just because we were kind of at the front of the line and made it in there. So we got to see where Jeannie's booth was. She was with Mysterious Galaxy. Mm-hmm. And then we went over to Tony Kim's booth, Hero Within, and we got the special Wonder Woman t-shirts, which are really kind of snazzy.
Those are far out.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And then after we wandered around the exhibitor hall for a while, and it began to get more and
full.
More and 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 more.
And more.
And more crowded.
Yeah. And it was getting almost claustrophobic.
Just about. And then once they closed the floor, we left before they closed the floor, and we went over to House of Blues, where we had been invited to a little event. It was called Game of Bloggers that Tony Kim of Hero Within had set
Obviously,
up.
Obviously, Tony's got this thing for Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Well, this year was Game of Thrones-ish for the whole con, I think.
Well, it's the last season of Game of Thrones. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, anyway. So that was what we went over there. And that was a chance for some fashion people that had fashions and unusual independent things going on surrounding clothing items could showcase their wares. Mm-hmm. And it was a bunch of bloggers that got together, and we exchanged contact information and had a great time and won a little Catwoman figurine doll. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
forgot about that.
And had some beverages.
More drinks.
More drinks. Yeah.
Thankfully, the trolley station was just up the block.
Exactly.
Oh, that was handy.
Yeah. So it was. So that was preview day.
Oh,
so
my word.
A lot.
I mean, yeah, that was a lot right there. Because of the sheer number of people that are there, it creates this sense of compression.
Yeah.
And I think that's what causes, and I'm beginning to wonder, maybe there is some physics to this, that if there is enough compression on a spot, that there's some really weird time dilation that takes place.
It's possible.
Because by the time we got back to our lodgings, and we were staying in Lemon Grove, it's
London,
like,
Grove.
No.
London Grove?
Lemon.
Lemon. Oh, I thought, where the heck were you staying?
I was staying in Lemon Grove. By the time we got back to Lemon Grove, it felt like we'd already done a full day and a half, or not two.
I know. It was just crazy.
I'm beginning to wonder. I mean, at least in terms of human perception, the greater the compression, the faster time goes, or the faster time is perceived to go.
Or whatever.
Something along those lines. But that was just the weird thing about it. So
it's the anti-TARDIS.
Not necessarily.
It's smaller on the inside than it is on the outside.
I don't even know where to go with that.
Anyway.
But I would say, since we're on that subject, I just want to briefly touch on the convention center. Holy criminy, that thing is huge.
It's enormous.
I didn't know it was that big.
Yeah. And then all of the appendant hotels that are right there just in a row.
It's
unbelievable.
Got the Marriott is right next to it, the Hyatt, and then on the other side there was
the Hilton. Yeah.
I mean, so you've got there's a lot of area where the convention was able to spread out, including the library, which is like a quarter of a mile away.
Yeah.
But I was just shocked at the sheer size of the convention center. And some of those ballrooms, even some of the smaller ballrooms, are pretty decent sized.
Yeah.
You know, we never even stepped into Hall H. Yes, we'll talk about that in a bit. Or Ballroom 20, which are the two big ones. Never got to go into either of those.
Yeah.
Or Ballroom 6, yeah. Those ballrooms are just enormous, and there's a lot of them. And then you've got that dealer's room, or the exhibitor's hall, which you can't see the other end of it.
Nope.
It's just too big.
Yeah.
It's unbelievably enormous. So I was just really shocked. Driving, because I've driven by the outside of the darn thing, and I thought, it always looked kind of small, and I felt that San Diego Comic-Con needed to move out of there and go someplace else. I take that back. Although, I don't know where I would go. I mean, where do you put
yeah.
it? The Astrodome?
It's one of the largest convention centers in the country.
I mean, where do you put... I mean, the Astrodome is the only place I can think of where it could go that might be bigger. I mean, I don't know, and I'm not even sure about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the convention center is gigantic. I don't know where you could put it that would actually satisfy the number of people that are there. But yeah, I was very impressed with the facility.
Yeah.
So now we got to day one,
and we got up a little bit later because we were out till midnight, which is way past my bedtime, especially since we'd been up, since three.
Since the crack of dawn.
Well, before the crack of dawn.
Yeah.
And so we had our panel. And that was kind of cool. That was over at the library.
Mm-hmm.
So we exited the trolley and just walked over to the library, which was another block. And the panel was, we started off in the panel with Wendy and Richard Pini.
Mm-hmm. The ElfQuest panel.
And I was fascinated. We've talked to them a couple of times
mm-hmm.
at Phoenix Comic Con. And there was more information, and I was kind of fascinated by their whole saga and their whole quest, shall we say.
Well, we never really talked about all the times we interviewed the Peenies. We never really discussed
ElfQuest
the origins of it. I mean, we didn't go that deep.
We talked about their musical or stage play or whatever.
Yeah, they're doing, it was a musical version of Mask of the Red Death.
Right. And that's really what they wanted to talk about instead of ElfQuest.
Right.
The couple of times that we've talked to them.
So and I did get to briefly approach Wendy after their panel was
over. Oh, did
over.
You? Okay, good.
Very, very briefly, introduced myself. She didn't remember me at first, and then I reminded her that we had talked to her at Phoenix Comic Con a couple of times, and she let us, oh, yes, I remember you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you didn't remind her of all the technical difficulties we had, right?
I don't think, I have no desire to remind her of that.
Yeah, she said, oh, yeah, I remember you.
No, I was not about to go down that road. Yeah, that was back in the Slice days, and oh, my, that's a nightmare I don't wish to revisit.
Yeah.
In any case, I talked to her a little bit because during their panel, they had discussed why they never sold over any movie rights. And so when it was over, I thought, you know, have you ever talked about maybe shopping around for some independent filmmakers? Because there are some really genius people out there. And she kind of tap danced around that a little one a bit, but she kind of seemed to suggest that they didn't want to spend the time to do that. And they have spoken to some independent filmmakers, and none of them seem to really satisfy their vision.
Right.
So, you know, but she did come back with, you know, when we see the right person, we'll go with them.
Right. Yeah. So, and then we had our panel. It was Heroes at the Mic, mm-hmm. and I was featured with a couple of other people that were.
I can't remember the first one. Second one was obviously Horrible Imaginings podcast. Then the third one was Krypton Radio, which is really not a podcast itself. It's more of a podcast network. And then there was Seven of Wine.
Yeah, which was is a fairly new podcast.
Yeah, it's a Star Trek drinking podcast.
Yes.
Which I think could be fun. And then there was us, TG Geeks. And bless you.
Oh, sorry about that.
I would say the one thing that impressed me most of all is, you know, our podcast was at the last of the line at the table during the introductions. And yet ours got, and I'm not making this up, ours got the biggest applause.
Yeah.
And
I'm
not making this up. And there were other people there to verify that.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of neat.
I mean, Neil Halford, who was the moderator, his wife Jana was in the audience taking photos. I mean, they verified it. We got really big applause on that. I was shocked, but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it was a fun panel. It was just, the panels only are 50 minutes.
Yeah, because they need that 10-minute time in order to get people off the stage and start getting set up for the next one to start on time.
It was like seven people up there or six people trying to talk, and it was, it just, the time was over before we knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, at the end, we had a special announcement that was made by Neil and Miguel Rodriguez of Horrible Imaginings Film Festival, and Neil Halford, who is actually the director, producer, instigator of Uncharted Regions, which it's a radio drama type thing that mm-hmm. they're doing. And they're going to premiere that at Horrible Imaginings Film Festival in San Diego on Friday, the September the 8th. We have a special article about that, or actually the press release, if you want to take a look at that.
We'll have the link for that in the show notes.
We'll have the link for that on the show notes. But take a look at that. And then as we went over to the exhibitor hall, we wandered around a bit. And
had a very surprising encounter with Star Trek royalty.
Yes.
Nichelle Nichols.
Yes, Lieutenant Uhura.
From the original Star Trek.
She was just there at
the table.
She was just sitting there. And it's like, oh my gosh, there she is.
So I approached her, and she, to be honest, now she does not look as vibrant as she used to. She is getting up there in years.
She's older.
Yeah. But
she looked every bit, her smile and.
Yeah, her laugh.
She
related a story to her about when I saw her last at a convention that was just before the release of Star Trek V, and how she sang at the convention and how it just made me so giddy happy, and she laughed at my story. So she's still there.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun. We got her autograph on a photo, mm-hmm. and we got a picture of the two of us with her. So
It was a delightful moment.
Oh my gosh, I was a little verklempt after that because it was like, oh my gosh,
and yeah, it's something that was just so out of the blue.
Yeah, It was.
I mean, it's one thing if you're like in an autographed line and you're kind of emotionally gearing
you're
yourself
ready
up
for
it. But
yeah.
No.
But that was just out of the blue, exactly.
It was. I mean, yeah, we're just walking there and that's, oh my God, it's Nichelle Nichols.
Yeah.
It was shocking. So then we walked a little further and came across a table of a comic book artist I'm a huge fan of, Mike Grell. His artwork is what got me into comic book collecting when I was a teenager. And it was so amazing. He's such a jovial man. And I even told him about the very first Superboy and Legion of Superheroes comic that I picked up. He asked me the issue number. I said, I couldn't tell him that, but I said, I can tell you and he says, well, tell me the cover. And I did. And he remembered it. You know, it's like all these years later, yeah. I mean, we're talking like almost 40 years later.
Yeah.
And he remembered the cover.
Exactly. Something that he drew and he knew the episode or the issue
number.
The
issue
number
and everything.
Yeah.
And then we got some artwork from him because I happened to glance up and see this one piece of artwork. And I thought, oh my God, this is a special anniversary issue. And I said, did you do that? And he says, oh, yes. In fact, the entire story was actually crafted based on that artwork. And so we bought that and he signed it, gave it a certificate of authenticity. I mean, he was so nice.
Yeah. You were just like a...
I was a kid.
Yeah, you were. You were.
I was totally geeking out.
And you were saying, no, I don't need anything. No, I just want to talk to him.
Well, that's originally was. But when I saw that artwork, I thought, okay, I have to. No, that I have to have.
Yeah.
I have to have that. So that'll definitely get a place of honor in our studio wall. But that was such a joy.
Yeah, it was. And we wandered around the exhibitor hall for quite some time. And then
until we went mad and had to leave.
Yeah, and then we went up to a panel, and this was the LGBTQ plus year in review. And it was a panel of people that... right in the industry about different LGBTQ
there was
projects. And
I mean, we had two LGBT panels that night. So it's hard to remember who was on which one, but I know that I'm wondering, was the first one, did we have was Advocate? Was that on
yes,
the first one?
Yes. The lady from the Advocate.
Right.
Yes.
So they covered just basically about what kind of gay presence or, you know, LGBTQ presence was there in television and movies this year.
Yeah.
And there was some very interesting debate that took place about some things. You know, Beauty and the Beast was a very hot topic.
Yeah. Several things were very hot topics, and it was an interesting conversation. It kind of opened my eyes to some things. And the focus this year of a lot of the LGBT things were trans people, and
that's the hot issue right now.
Yeah, and in light of we won't go there.
No, but it has been for some months now. That has been the hottest topic out there, and like for
trans
example,
people in
transgender
film,
people, you know, and of course one of the most
TV, etc.
notable one is Sense8,
right?
The character of Nomi,
right?
And but there, you know, some people think that she's not a good representation
because
that
she's
she
not
fits
a
very
trans person of color.
No, she's in fact. I remember actually the panel before that, before this one, there was a very masculine, and admittedly so, she admitted that she was a very masculine black transgendered person.
Right,
and she said, "I'm not represented."
Right.
So as you said, it was a huge eye-opener about what kind of equal representation are we getting. You know, and we've made some serious grounds, but I think the panel is showing that we've got grounds to still make.
Yeah.
But if you look back 20 years ago, boy, none of this that's already out there now wouldn't have even, you wouldn't even have seen that in any kind of mainstream media. Yeah,
well, you wouldn't have seen LGBT people, period.
No, you wouldn't have. And that led into the It Gets Geekier. Now, I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure what the mission on this one was.
Yeah, it was an unusual panel.
It was about gay geeks, so obviously we had an interest
in
it.
And representation.
Yeah, but I'm not entirely sure what the vision statement was the vision for this panel was. I really don't get it yet. I mean, they brought up some good points, but what was the main point they were trying to drive home, I'm still not sure.
Yeah, well, they were playing on the it gets better trope, but I don't want to say trope, but the phrase it gets better, and it was called it gets geekier.
I mean, were they trying to say that it gets better for gay geeks?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It was an interesting discussion.
It was an interesting discussion, but I don't even think they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
To be honest. You know, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything. I just don't think that they had a full understanding of what their point was supposed to be.
Most of them were creatives, and they talked about the characters that they were creating, they were drawing, and the stories they were telling, and how those characters were gay.
Mm-hmm.
Some characters that have been around for a long time, and the fact that they were, and most of the characters that they did talk about were characters that have always been in the background, kind of hiding, but
never worked
to the forefront.
Yeah.
And now that they've come to the forefront and they're being the featured character mm-hmm. in comic books, they're gay.
And I think
it was kind of that whole hiding and
I think the big one is I believe is Bobby Drake, who's Iceman with the X-Men, and how for the longest time he was just there in the background. We knew nothing about him. Somebody else becomes the chief writer, creator for that character in Marvel, and then decides to, with a little bit of dialogue between him and Jean Grey of the X-Men. Jean Grey kind of pulls out of him that, no, you really like guys.
Yeah.
And that just literally changed everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was some good conversation, but half the time I'm not quite sure we knew what was going on. So there was that. However,
once we were done with that,
we went to something that was so not LGBT, but oh my word. This was hot.
Yeah. It was full of people. And it was one that we had seen pre. We had communicated pre con with
associated. Yeah, we had an interest in this one.
So yeah, this was the Robotech panel, and all of the madness surrounding Robotech that people want to inject into that discussion aside, and we really don't want to talk about that and all the craziness that people, this was a very fascinating panel. I mean,
it was a
media circus
mm-hmm.
because they released so many different things. They talked about so many new things to Robotech. And,
well, let's start at the top on this one.
Oh my gosh.
We had reached out to Kevin McKeever, who's the vice president of marketing for Harmony Gold, because we had read a story about a new director being picked for the live action Robotech film.
Right.
And when we reached out to him on that, he simply kind of gave us a no comment. And
it was the day after I had read that, or the same day that I read that.
Right.
That spoiler that came out from somebody.
Right. But Kevin gave a no comment.
Right.
Now
he said, come to the Robotech panel and you'll.
But we kind of immediately suspected that the reason being is that if there is a new director, he probably wants to announce that at San Diego Comic-Con. Why the heck not? That's where all the big announcements take place. I mean, every hot announcement is going to be there. So I figured if this is true, it will happen there. And it did. Now, what I didn't know is that this new director for Robotech is the director for the new Stephen King horror film, It.
Yeah.
And they showed, I would say, and I don't want to get off the Robotech, but it was part of the panel, so I think it's okay to talk about it. They showed the trailer. Holy God. I got to admit, that scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
That looks like a really good horror flick, and I can think of several people, Normie, who will never go to that movie because he thinks clowns are soulless creatures anyway.
Yeah.
He will never see It. This looks scary.
Yeah.
And if this guy's doing that, if this new director is taking care, I don't remember the director's name. It's in the article.
Andy Muschietti.
Thank you. I'm kind of interested to see what he's going to do with this. But since that was all they could talk about in terms of the movie,
right?
And
because
granted,
just
that's
been
all there is.
Like this was Thursday,
right?
And he had been assigned on Monday. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The story, the announcement, it was, the deal was signed on Monday. They didn't want to announce it until Thursday night. So, there was not much else to tell. But what they could talk about is how Sony wants to see a higher presence of Robotech in so many different areas.
Right. So they had new t-shirts.
Well, it's not just the merchandise, but the
games.
The way they're going to be distributing the shows through all sorts of different streaming media. Yep. And just so much of it.
Yeah.
So obviously Sony has a very vested interest in raising the Robotech profile.
Right.
But then we had tons of merchandise. And t-shirts. I got to admit, some of it was, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's cute. Oh, that's cute. Oh, my God. The one big game board.
The board game.
The board game flew just through. It's like, you know, we might have to get that.
Yeah.
Because just to have it. Because it looked so utterly cool. It's very three-dimensional.
Yeah, and a Coleco mini arcade retro.
Yeah,
line,
that
arcade
looked cute.
Game. And they had
Models
that Calibre Wings and Northrop Grumman.
Yep.
And wow. And just a
Comic books.
A new comic book. That was just, in fact, it had been released and the second edition was getting ready to be released. And when the first edition broke, it sold out online.
Right.
And the whole first printing. So they gave everybody in attendance a copy of the second printing.
We've got it.
The first issue.
Yeah, we have it.
So it was kind of neat.
Utterly cool.
Yeah. And there were a lot of really interesting things. So it was a good panel about Robotech.
And the audience, I must stress this, the audience was so enthusiastic.
Yes, they were.
Everybody there, I mean, I didn't hear anything, you know, there was no complaining. Everybody was just so jazzed about the merchandise from all sorts of different angles. I mean, many of them were interested in the comic book. A lot of them were interested in the new streaming media. The toys and the different merchandising, that was really where everybody was just totally geeking out on. So it was a really interesting panel. And we got to introduce ourselves to Kevin, and he was very happy to see us there.
Yeah, I will say that the comic book is released by Titan Comics.
So, right.
So that was kind of fascinating. So then day two, so we got home late again, and then day two came.
And I'm like, this is only day two.
Yes.
It feels like it should be day five.
And this was Friday, so... We took a. We didn't even go into the exhibitors hall first. We made it over. We went over to the Marriott, and where Comic Con HQ was, and sadly they had already sold out all of the hats, and like idiots, we kind of grumped off out of the thing and didn't buy any T-shirts.
No,
but it was a good thing that we did because. As we walked out...
Who did we bump into?
And we ran into our friend Mark Biaggi, who works for
Comic-Con.
And he said he had something to do, so he ran and did his errands and came back and talked to us for a couple of minutes and then ran off to do his thing.
Yeah, because the guy's there to work.
Yeah, exactly. So it was nice to see Mark, and we gave him one of our little wristbands that we had. So that was cool, which I had for him anyway. I was hoping we would get to see him. And then we ran over to the Hyatt to look at the art show to see if Pia was over there.
Because Pia de los Muertos.
Pia Thrasher, yeah.
Pia Thrasher, that's her name. We've talked to her on the past on the show. We've met her at Horrible Imaginings. And she's good artist.
In fact, I'm looking at some of her art right now.
The Catwoman, I'm looking at it right now. It's
stunning.
That is one of the most beautiful pieces of art I've ever seen anybody do. It's gorgeous.
It's great.
It's so retro deco.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. So we were interested to see some of her other work there.
Live.
We didn't. Yeah, hopefully we could see her. We never got to see her at all.
She was off doing something else, but that's okay. We'll hopefully get to see her at Horrible Imaginings.
I'm sure we will.
And so while we kind of hung around a little bit.
We didn't want to go out. It was a little too warm.
Yeah, until she replied to where she was. And once she did, we kind of sat down and had a beverage. And sitting next to us were some people that...
They work for Marvel.
Well,
They have a deal with Marvel.
Yes, they have the license to create Marvel jewelry. And it's What's Your Passion Jewelry. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to them on the podcast.
I really hope so because I've seen some of their craft and a lot of what they make is just beautiful.
Yeah, I've reached out to them. They've got to go through the Marvel vetting process and all that kind of crap. So before we can talk to them, but that was kind of cool. We got a chance to talk to them and look at some of their stuff up close. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of neat. And then made our way back to the exhibitor hall again.
Well, I mean, tons of walking.
Oh, my God.
Lots of walking.
Lots of walking. And we were just walking down the aisle and, oh, my gosh.
Bob Gurr,
right there at the...
The Disney legend, the last surviving original Imagineer.
Yeah. So it was kind of neat to talk to Bob for just a few
minutes.
Chatted
him up a little bit. He remembered the vacation that we all took together on the Disney Fantasy. So it was really nice being able to chat with him for a few minutes. And then we made our way. This was really heartwarming.
Yeah.
We found the Witch House Rocks booth. And for anybody who does remember, we... interviewed one of the guys from Witch House Rocks, that's Mike Dallagher, a number of years ago from the Horrible Imaginings Film Festival. He helped produce A Dream of the Witch House,
Dreams in the
Witch House, which is a phenomenal rock opera. So anyway, we walked over to the booth and he immediately recognized us. By name!
Yep.
I was shocked.
Well, we do have our names on our shirts, too, so.
Well, yeah, but he remembered who... No, yeah. But I mean, it's in small print.
Exactly.
I mean, unless you're staring right at it, you're not going to know who we are. And he actually remembered who we were.
Yeah.
So we chatted him up a little bit, gave us this beautiful... What would you call it? It's a fold-out.
It's actually like a map. It's a map to the... new recording that they released.
Right. So they actually redid one of the songs for Dreams in the Witch House. And although he keeps saying, I don't know why we keep redoing it. But it included a link for a download for the new track. And yeah, it's this beautiful artwork that just kind of spirals in and helps flesh out the story a little bit more about the house where all these horrible things take place. It was really enjoyable. And then he gave us this fantastic CD. Oh, good grief. Ogham Waite and the Amphibian Jazz Band. And this is actually taken from a story about the Gilman House Lounge. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but it's supposed to be this kind of like, lounge jazz. House lounge.
In a horror setting.
I know. I can't wait to hear it. I just haven't had the chance with work because I've been catching up. So I haven't had a chance to listen to any music. But it looks like it's going to be just a real blast. But so anyway, it was just great being able to chat with him. It was far out.
Yeah. So then we kind of made our way over to the small press area and ran across. What drew us in originally was some artwork that is... very retro 60 style, very much like the work of Shag, who mm-hmm. does a lot of the Disney stuff.
Did a lot of the old Disney artwork.
And Ryan Hungerford, and we bought a piece of his art, and while I was standing there chatting with him about his art, you were chatting with Manuel from Sadaka Studios.
Yeah, he saw our shirts and said, do you do reviews? I said, yeah, we have done reviews in the past. And so he showed us two comics that we bought. One is called Rainbow Warriors, and the other one is called Fearless. And what attracted our attention is that these both have, they are very LGBTQ. So yeah. I said, okay, yeah, we'll get these. We'll take a look at them, possibly write a review on them. So yeah, that was a nice little another bit of serendipity, which this entire convention was filled with.
Oh, absolutely, and it was just we just happened to run across them, and it was exchanged contact information, and I chatted with Manuel on Facebook here yesterday, and hopefully when he gets back from vacation and we get back from vacation, we're going to be able to talk to him, do an interview, and about his work and feature some of his stuff on the website. Then we made our way over to the small press area, but one that was devoted to LGBT authors, and there were like five of them there, and we talked to two or three of them. It was really kind of neat, different things that they had going. We had those featured in our...
it's our day two wrap-up.
Day two wrap-up.
The link will be there, but the within the day two wrap-up story, we've got links to some of the artists, the writers, and what they have produced. There looks to be some very, very interesting content there.
Yeah, and after we got pressed by so many different people, we said, okay, we're gonna take a break.
We need to decompress.
We have to take a break for a minute. So as part of our badges, that because we were panelists, we got professional badges, we had access to the Pro Lounge, which was up off of the Sales Pavilion next to Ballroom 6, and it's a place for professionals to decompress, have some lemonade, which was actually quite good.
It was good.
Or they have coffee.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there, and all of a sudden somebody walks up and starts talking to us. And it's like, who are you?
Oh, it's Larry Nemechek.
How about that? So from Dr. Trek. And so we talked to him for a bit. But
it was so cool that he actually approached us.
Exactly.
So I was touched.
It was kind of neat. So we talked with Larry a bit. We had said, you know, we'd been intending to sign up for Portal 47. Mm-hmm. We did that while we were sitting there. And his Trekland was later on that evening. And then the Portal 47 meetup was after the Trekland. So talked to Larry, met a bunch of other authors, mm-hmm. Courtesy of Jeannie Koch, and a couple of notable authors we'll talk about later when we can talk about that.
Yes.
And we also met Jeffrey Thorne, courtesy of Neil Halford,
mm-hmm.
and that he is actually doing the Black Panther Quest for Disney XD, the animated version.
He's the showrunner. Showrunner for that.
So hopefully we'll get to talk to him when our schedules collide.
It'll be sometime in September because I talked to him for a little bit after you'd walked off, and I was busy working on an article for the website. And so once I was done, I ran over and started talking to Jeffrey. Such a nice guy. I could see that interview is going to be hilarious.
Oh, he is just, he's
pretty
tremendously
loose.
Funny. Yes.
He is pretty loose. This is going to be a fun interview, and that's why Neil wanted to introduce us, because he knew it would be a great show.
Yeah.
And but he said that he was just really tied up until sometime in September, and I said, well, that's great. We've got our vacation coming up, so September, sometime after Horrible Imaginings, is when everything will kind of open up for a bit.
Yeah. So after that, we went downstairs to the Marvel booth,
which was the worst mistake I ever made.
Oh my gosh, it was mobbed with people because they were just getting ready to do their giveaway, and we'd been told about it by the folks from What's Your Passion Jewelry that they were doing the big giveaway, and so we went down there, and it was just there were too many people.
It was a sea of humanity in the middle back,
and I mean everything was being given to the people up front.
People who are tall.
Yeah. So we left.
That disqualifies me because I'm in the middle and I'm short.
Yep.
So I was like, okay. I turned at one point. I mean, we were there for about 15 minutes, and I just looked and said, I'm done.
Yeah. So we marshaled
our way out
to the Trekland, and then the meetup, and that was the end of day two.
I'm just really curious, what did you think of the Trekland?
I thought it was great.
Was that just not the greatest panel?
There was some neat stuff that Larry was able to share. Some really, really neat stuff.
I would have to say, if you're ever at a con that Larry Nemechek is going to be presenting at,
either his Trekland or Dr. Trek or
attend
any of the panels that he does.
Attend any panel that he is on. But if it's his panel especially, oh, by all means, go see it. It is so entertaining, and he brings things that most even diehard fans don't get a chance to really see because of his position and the level of respect that he has earned with both Paramount and CBS. This gives him access to certain materials, and he shares those with the people at the conventions.
Yeah.
It was such a blast. And yeah, dinner and drinks after that was so enjoyable.
Yeah.
I mean, I always love visiting with Larry. He's such a fun guy.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll get to come to Phoenix Comic Con next year.
I would hope so.
We'll get to talk to him again, like we did last year.
That was day two.
And that was day two.
Boy.
Oh my gosh. Then it got really interesting. On day three, we got up late
because we were tired.
And we got a late start. We got ready. We ventured out to go to Starbucks to go get some breakfast late. And while we were there, several things broke that we'll talk about in the second
half. Yeah, because this is Saturday.
This is on Saturday,
and so this is like the big day.
The big day. A number of things broke, and we ran back to the house, and we released those, and something else broke while we were there, and something else, and something else. So it was after one before we got down to the convention center on Saturday. And we thought, well, we'll try for John Barrowman because we have had a specific reason. And we got in the line, the overflow line. And then when we finally got up there, it was like, oh my gosh.
There's nobody here. I mean, there's a line, but it's not insane.
Yeah. So we were able to talk to John Barrowman for a few minutes and his sister Carol.
Well, actually, we were in line and there was this woman who was kind of sitting off to the side and a little bit behind John. And I kept looking at her and kept looking at her and said, is that Carol? Because we both met her. Well, I had interviewed her previously.
Right.
With Slice of Sci-Fi. And then we bumped into her at Phoenix Comic Con a number of years ago. She was doing her own book signing.
Yep.
So I thought, is that Carol? So it looked like her. So I quickly Googled her. And there's a photo of her. And I thought, yep, that's her. So when we got up to the table, before we started talking to John, because he was still, you know, he's autographing pictures and, you know, whatnot, people who were in front of us. So I started talking to Carol and I introduced myself to her, and it was in 5 seconds when she immediately remembered who we were.
Yeah.
It was so awesome. And she dropped the biggest hint about the books that she and John are writing.
Yeah.
And that's why we are hoping that we can get an interview with them really, really soon. So, and it was after that that we finally got to talk to John.
Yeah, and we got our picture with him. We got his autograph, and we got...
you can see that on our day three wrap-up.
Photos with him, and that was kind of neat. And it was just, that was kind of cool.
And he gave some really good advice to you
about
how we can reach out and probably set up an interview with him down the road. So that was very exciting.
Yeah.
And after that,
we made our way down to the exhibit floor for, oh, Lord God. It was, if we thought madness was the other 2 days,
this is Saturday.
Absolute insanity.
And everybody warned us Saturday is going to be the mad day of all. And obviously, that's when everybody's going to you know, all the one day people are going to descend upon Comic-Con for the one, you know, for Saturday.
Yeah, so we actually were going down there because the several people from Beyond the Gates were signing posters, and we're
very supportive of that movie.
Big supporters of that film.
The interviews that we've done, et cetera.
So we did, and we talked to them for a bit, and gave them some wristbands, and got our signed poster, and then we made our way out of there, and then that was when we went back up the Pro Lounge. That's when we talked to Jeffrey Thorne. So it was not the day before, anyway.
Well, with everything that's going on, it's very easy to get details confused with others, you know, what happened on what day, et cetera.
Yeah.
It was just nuts.
That was crazy. And after that, we just kind of said, we're kind of done. So we headed back and we had dinner with Neil and Jana Halford at Cali Comfort Barbecue, which is their favorite barbecue place.
Their favorite barbecue place for good reason.
And it was really good. We sat there for, oh my gosh, 2.5 hours. And just
they talked.
They closed the place. The bar
closing. Open. Yeah, we closed the restaurant.
Yeah, so it was a lot of fun. And then we got up Sunday morning and made our way back.
Got early and got back here, and we've been dragging our butts ever since.
And that was Comic-Con International in San Diego.
Is there anything specific? I mean, obviously we talked about, you know, Nichelle and John Barrowman, you know, being really two huge highlights. But what were some of the more positive takeaways that you've got from Comic-Con? I mean, especially being that this was a first time.
The accessibility to some of the individuals. And while we didn't experience it, there were celebrities that were wandering around.
Yeah, we found out that Friday night, now after we had dinner and drinks with Larry, we were heading to the trolley. And for anybody who has never been to San Diego, there is in their convention center one enormous ballroom. It's called Hall H, and that's where all the big hot media stuff takes place. The big stars show up there. And Saturday is always the big, 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 big day. Saturday and Sunday were actually the big days, the weekend days. Those are the hot ones. And Saturday was not going to be any disappointment, and we're going to cover that in a few minutes. But the line for Hall H is infamous.
Yeah,
in its length.
People line up for days before the con and for the night before, and they sleep in line, and they do this and they do that. I mean, it's like just craziness.
And turns out we got back on the trolley and find out we're not on the trolley minutes, and I started reading Twitter only to discover Andy Serkis of Lord of the Rings and War of the Planet of the Apes is actually entertaining people in line at Hall H.
Yeah. The Hall H line.
The entire Hall H line. He's going down the line. He's talking to people. It's like, how awesome is that?
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, not only is that awesome for the fans, but man, what an awesome guy.
Yeah.
I mean, really. I mean, if I didn't like Andy Serkis to begin with, I love him now.
Yeah.
That is such an awesome thing to do. And you're right. So many people were just so easily accessible. I mean, it didn't work out for us that we could.
Right. And because it was our first time. So we just
it was our first
no
time.
Clue what
yeah,
to do.
Yeah. And God, I mean, if we had known better, I would have loved to have been to that other private party that Tony Kim invited us
yeah,
to.
Yeah, the Red Wedding Party.
The Red
fact,
Wedding
yeah.
Party, because a lot of big celebrities were there, including Grant Gustin of The Flash.
Yep. So there were a lot of people there. And that was kind of neat. And I've heard that, but we didn't happen to run across, you know, that. Because we were kind of trying to do our work that we try to do.
Yeah, I mean, we were networking, which was sort of like, guess what was our mission this first time around?
Yeah.
But, man, I really would not mind bumping into some of these more, you know, along the lines of the A-listers, because, as I said, I really would love to interview these people.
Yep. So that was Comic-Con and our wrap-up.
This is Mark Biaggi, and you're listening to the Two Gay Geeks webcast.
And we have our birthdays for July 31st through August the 6th, 2017. July 31st, Mario Bava, Italian horror film director. Also Richard Griffiths from
Harry Potter.
From Harry Potter.
Now, how weird is that? I'm watching Chamber of Secrets right now.
Yeah. In fact, we were watching it earlier this morning as we were having breakfast.
Oh, this gets weird about in just a second.
And then also on July 31st, Wesley Snipes and J.K.
Rowling.
I
know. Okay, this is getting weird.
Yeah. Also, to round out July 31st, Sebastian Sparing Kresge, born in 1867.
And who's that?
S.S. Kresge of Kmart.
Ah.
It was S.S. Kresge before it became Kmart, before it became Sears, before it became defunct.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. August the 1st, Cherry Garcia, or Jerry Garcia, sorry.
Cherry Garcia.
Yeah, well, that's a Ben and Jerry's flavor.
Moving right along.
Also on August 1st, Dom DeLuise. August the 2nd, Wes Craven, Peter O'Toole, Myrna Loy, born in 1905, and most will remember her as Nora Charles in the Thin Man series.
Yes.
But I was reading her bio, and it's like, oh my God, she was a fascinating woman. She was given an honorary... She was one of the few starlets that were really famous and did a lot of films that never got an Oscar nomination.
Really?
Yeah, but she was given an honorary Oscar in 83, I think, or something, just before she died, couple of years before she died. And they cut away to her New York apartment and all of that. So, fascinating woman. Myrna Loy, August 2nd. Also on August the 2nd, Jack Warner, born in 1892. And of Warner Brothers Studios.
Right.
He was the founder of Warner Brothers Studios. Also on August the 2nd, Pierre-Charles Lafont, 1754. He was the architect of Washington, D.C.
There it is.
The Federal City. August the 3rd, Martin Sheen, Tony Bennett, John Landis, and who's Martha Stewart?
She writes picture books.
About beautiful living.
About gracious living.
And
if there's nothing more important is to have a lovely dry floral arrangement.
I adore her.
I adore her.
Yes. Also on August 3rd, Dolores del Rio.
Who's Dolores del Rio?
1904. She actually...
You didn't tell me to leave this house.
No, Dolores del Rio. I just saw her on the list, and then I looked her up, and she was the first Mexican star, and she... In the 20s.
Really?
She started in the 20s and had a very long career. So, very interesting. August the 4th, Louis Satchmo Armstrong, born in 1901, and Percy Bysshe Shelley, 1792. And it was his second wife, Mary Shelley, that wrote Frankenstein.
Of course.
August the 5th, Neil Armstrong, first man to walk on the moon, and whom I met...
Yes, you did.
Yeah,
humble man.
Me and Bill Hensley were at the library, and it was just packed in that little room.
Oh, sure it was.
Also on August the 5th, John Huston and Guy de Maupassant, born in 1850. He was the father of the short story, and many, many of his short stories have been turned into films. I can't name them all, but the reason I picked this up was... There's Gene Roddenberry had written a story
called it's the Questor Tapes.
The Questor Tapes, and it was kind of based on one of Maupassant's
stories.
Yes,
far out.
Anyway, I like his name anyway, Guy de Maupassant.
Well, there it is.
Anyway, August the 6th, Michelle Yeoh
of Star Trek Discovery. We'll be talking about that in a little bit.
Yeah, Robert Mitchum, Andy Warhol, Lucille Ball. And Luella Parsons, born in 1881, who was the big gossip columnist in Hollywood.
Columnist?
Columnist. Yeah.
Thank you, Craig.
One of those. Thank you. And that's it for the birthdays this time.
Hi, I'm Casual Shadow Jeremy, the man behind Casual Moan and also an undercover capricious changeling. I play games a lot, and I make my own stories with them, even if they already have stories. And I would love to share those stories with you over on Casual Mode, the gaming channel for geeks of all trades and masters of none. Each week, I post playthroughs of video games that strike my interest, and I put my own little spin on them. Tactical games like XCOM 2, RPGs like Chrono Trigger, even board games like Fortune Street. All with tons of ham and a healthy dose of C-grade voice acting. And occasionally, I do step away from games and talk about serious things. Or even not so serious things. So join me on twitch.tv/casualmodelive, Sunday evenings, Monday afternoons, and Thursday late nights. Follow me on vidme at vid.me/casualmode, and consider supporting me on Patreon at patreon.com/casualmode. Thanks for your support, and as always, keep it casual, y'all.
Go give a listen to our friend Jeremy over at Casual Mode. And now, it's time for a little bit of feedback.
Just a little bit. Starting off, we got a number of feedback from episode 126, and this is the episode where we got to interview Tracy Birdsall of Rogue Warrior?
Robot Fighter, yes.
Right. And she simply writes, awesome podcast with fellow sci-fi geeks. Well, thank you, Tracy. I'm glad you think so. And then we got a comment from Hamish Downey, who says, you guys are absolutely killing it with these last two interviews. So
yay,
interesting. Regarding the mic, I thought you both sounded great. Seriously, those were brilliant interviews. This lady, I think he means Tracy,
yeah,
is especially was a hoot.
Yes, she was.
Glad you think so. And then also for episode 126, we talked a little bit about Gotham by Gaslight, and we got a comment from Arkel, and he writes, so let me get this straight. DC saw how positive the reaction to Wonder Woman was, saw the demands for more female-led superhero movies from audiences, and their response to this was to go, what should we do for our next animated movie? I know, more Batman! Not a knock against Gotham by Gaslight per se. I'm sure it's a good story. But if they wanted to go for an Elseworlds animated movie, Wonder Woman has a few of those too, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he does add, you know, about, you know, Wonder Woman being pit against Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. But one of the things was that they'd already had Gotham by Gaslight in the works prior to Wonder Woman. And they didn't know Wonder Woman was going to be such a hit.
No, they had no idea, and they were already scheduled to do another Batman animated film anyway.
Well, and the Gotham by Gaslight, we knew something was up with that for...
Oh, for over a year now.
For over a year now,
yeah,
because...
we knew.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that at another time.
And then lastly, we had run an article, and again, the show notes will have the link for this and everything else that we've talked about today, but it's for the official U.S. teaser trailer for Disney's new fantasy film, A Wrinkle in Time, and Hamish simply writes, interesting to see Oprah Winfrey really get back into acting. Gotta agree with that, because I think she's an awesome actress, especially if you've seen The Color Purple. And that is our feedback for this week.
Yeah, and we want to hear from you, our listeners. If you have some feedback, we want to hear it. You can comment on our Facebook page or our website, tggeeks.com. You can call our listener line at 469-TGGEEKS. That's 469-844-3357. And remember, play nice.
You don't need to hear their identification. They're the two gay geeks. They can go about their business. Move along.
Well, we got to get through this fast because we've got four things that broke while we were at Comic-Con that we really want to touch on.
Yeah, and we don't want to go too far over.
No, we don't. Because we're already at the 1 hour mark. Ready Player One, the trailer for that broke, and I got to admit, it broke earlier than I expected it to.
Yeah, in fact, it was, they must have done that first in the
Warner.
They
were supposed to do that last.
Yeah.
At the Warner Brothers panel.
It was just shortly after
11
when this broke.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that I can imagine is maybe Warner Brothers broke it, but it hadn't been shown at the panel yet.
That's the only thing
I can think of. But yeah, 11 o'clock, this trailer broke. We've got it on our website. And all I can say, just take a look at it. So far, I'm really intrigued with it.
I am too.
I mean, was there anything there that you may kind of say, or is it just too much?
All of it. Yeah.
Well, all of it. I mean, it was so much.
It was, I will say that the stacks looked different in my mind than what they filmed.
So, they kind of look like what I saw in my head.
Yeah.
But be that as it may,
I think this looks great. But I thought it was fascinating. Yeah,
I think it's absolutely great. Check out the link for this in our show notes as well. And at that same time, the new trailer for Justice League broke.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Okay. I will say, you know, and I'm feeling better about this. I'm feeling better about this movie.
Good.
Really quickly, is there anything that you just...
Not really.
Not really?
No.
Nothing. Okay. Well, all right, being that as it is. Moving right along, there was also the Thor Ragnarok. There was finally an official, or a brand new, an actual trailer. I mean, in the past, we've had a teaser. Now we've got a real trailer for this one, and oh my word, did this thing make me smile.
Yeah, it was a good trailer, so that's all I'm going to say.
That's all you're going to say? Yep. There were two things on this that made me just giggle. The first is we see a new side to Hulk, which I loved a lot. And two, we really get to understand why Thor is the Thunder God, even if he doesn't have Mjolnir with him.
Yeah.
And then lastly, the Star Trek Discovery trailer and points from the panel that was at... This was in Ballroom 20, I think. In any case, but this was also at San Diego Comic-Con. Did you had a chance to look at this trailer?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, my goodness.
I work trip this week and everything.
Okay, we've got that out now. It looks interesting. I am more intrigued. I'm not going to say that I'm 100% on board with it, but I am more curious and more open to where this series may go. It looks kind of interesting. I like some of the story ideas that they've got with it. Only time will tell. But if you want to see this and you want to read all the points that were brought up at San Diego Comic-Con, please check out our article. We'll have the link for that in our show notes.
Yes, and we have lots of links in the show notes. And always we have our follow-up items. Thanks for the nomination for the Parsec Award. And check out our calendar on the website if you have cons film festival, whatnot, send us a note. We'll be glad to put it on there. We've also got a few places that we're still going to be the rest of this year. Come see us and say hi at Horrible Imaginings Film Festival on September 9th. Hopefully we can be there on the 8th and maybe on the 10th for a little bit. We'll see how PTO works.
But definitely there on the 9th.
Yep, definitely there on the 9th. OperaCon, October 21st. And Comic-Con, Phoenix Comic-Con Fan Fest, November 11th and 12th. And as always, we are huge supporters of independent creators. We've picked up a bunch of stuff at... Oh, we didn't even talk about the Independent Creator Summit. Oh my gosh, that was the most incredible thing at Comic-Con. Talk to people. Why did I put that in there?
I don't even know what day that was. I think day one.
Yeah, but it was incredible. We talked to a bunch of independent creators and exchanged information. We're hopefully going to have a bunch of interviews out of that and spotlight some people for feature articles. But if you see somebody that is an independent creator, please consider supporting them, especially if they're doing a crowdfunding campaign. Mm-hmm. You can get involved and, you know, buy their works, etc. We are huge supporters, and please consider being a supporter with us of mm-hmm. independent creators. FanFest for Phoenix Comic-Con, November 11th to 12th, and Phoenix Comic-Con, November 24th through 27th, 2018. And as I mentioned earlier, OperaCon by Arizona Opera, October 21st. Hopefully this next week I'll get a meeting with Josh and several people, and we're going to talk about what are the plans for OperaCon. Prior to the Hercules versus the Vampires. Stay tuned for more. Check out Arizona Opera at azopera.org.
Special thanks to Doctor Who Talking Who on Twitter. They publish the Doctor Who Fancast Guide, and they also like to publish our stories on the Fancast Guide. We thank them for that. You can find it by going to Twitter and looking for at Talking Who. Also, special thanks to Arkle. I read some of his feedback earlier. On Twitter, he's known as the Nazi Punching Scald, and he publishes the Arkle Times Post Dispatch News, which also shares our stories, and we thank Arkle for that. And you can find him by going to Twitter, and he's there known as Arkle, at Arkle, A-R-K-L-E. And he's also on Tumblr with the incorrect Star Trek Voyager quotes. Check those out. They're awfully amusing, you know, based on, especially if you've heard some of the ones that we've read in the past. I also must give thanks to Sci-Fi Obsession for republishing our stories. They can be found on Facebook at facebook.com/sci-fi-ob. That is S-C-I-F-I-O-B.
And we want to give a shout out to The Lookie Show on Twitter. They're at Lookie Show, but their big thing is on YouTube, The Lookie Show. They do movie reviews in a very unique fashion. So thank you to The Lookie Show.
Special shout out to the Facebook group, The Gay Geek, for allowing us to post our episodes on their page. Not just our episodes, but any kind of content that is LGBT related. We're happy to share it with them, and they're happy to take it from us. And you can find them at facebook.com/groups/thegaygeek, with very special thanks to their moderator, Jeremiah Reeves, for allowing us to share our content there.
Thanks, Jeremiah. And we want to remind you to occasionally click on our Amazon ads. We've got widgets on the side, on the right side of the page, or at the bottom, depending on whether you're using a mobile device or not. And always at the end of each article, we support independent creators, and a lot of those are independent creators. The ones at the bottom, they're search ads. If it didn't cost anything, you don't have to buy anything.
Actually, but I hate to break this. Did you know that Amazon discontinued that?
What?
The search ads at the bottom of our articles?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No, they have not.
Yes, they have. Take a look. They're gone. I can't find them anymore.
You're not looking in the right place. So
okay, I guess I'm not looking in the right place.
Anyway, so click on our ads. And lastly, but not leastly, please rate us and review us on iTunes and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And up next time, we're going to have an interview with Mr. Jonathan Latt.
That'll always be fun.
And he's got some new stuff that he's getting ready to release. So that will be a fascinating time. Okay, that should do it for this episode of TG Geeks Webcast. Be sure to check out our article on the webcast episode. We'll have several links on the page of things that we've talked about. And remember, you can comment on our Facebook page or our website, tggeeks.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 469-TG-GEEKS. That is 469-844-3357 from TG Squared Studios. I'm Keith Lane. Thanks for listening. I bid you peace.
Cheers.